Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Now,
I'm talking about the team out of Canada that has the best chance to win the Stanley Cup when they begin play in 2021. Here's mine. Are you ready? The Calgary Flames.
Whoa.
How about that?
I know, it hurts. I hate the Calgary Flames. They got Jacob Markstrom, the best goalie in free agency, and the Calgary Flames have learned some very painful, valuable lessons the last two playoff years. They're climbing the mountain. Calgary Flames are Canada's best team. Change my mind.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome to a brand new week of the RP Show, everybody. Good day, Canada, and to Canadian sports fans around the world. RP here. Moose DuPont there. Hey, Moose.
Hey, good morning.
Don't mind us. To our viewers, you see that my desk is in disarray here. We're doing some spring cleaning. We're doing renos. Don't mind the mess. And you're going to see why in a minute. But we're going to dive right into the sports talk as it's a busy Monday. We got a lot to get to today. Joining us in moments, or in block two, I guess, John Forslund, specifically, 20 minutes after the hour, named today to the number two crew of the NHL on NBC. Two days before the start of the NHL season, NBC announcing their crew. And interestingly enough, Mike Babcock has been named a studio analyst. Let's go with the quick six show topics, please, Jordan, because we do have a lot to get to. We're going to start with the NFL and come around on to the Canadian leagues. But in point one, Saturday's wild card games, the Buffalo Bills winning their first playoff game in 25 years. They beat the Indy Colts 27-24. It was a dream matchup in terms of it was close all game long.
Yep.
And the right team won in terms of the favored team, right, at home. Point two, it was the upset of the weekend until Sunday. The Los Angeles Rams beat the Seattle Seahawks 30-20 in Seattle, and Seahawks fans have been eerily quiet for the last 48 hours. They talk a lot of noise, you know.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah, we listened to that driving home from Saskatoon, and it just sounded weird. Like, even the announcers were stunned that LA was winning the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the rise and fall of the Seattle Seahawks this season. I mean, remember, you know, geez, even 5-6 weeks in, well, it's been decided Russell Wilson's the MVP. Right? It's been decided.
I know.
The defense is so bad, but he is so good. And then all of a sudden, their defense kind of got going. Russ went away, and then neither showed up on the weekend.
Yeah, but that is football. What do we call it? Overreaction Monday. People get ahead of themselves.
Yes.
To quote Corey Chamberlain, that's football. And then the night game Saturday night wasn't a surprise. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers walked into Washington and won 31-23, but it was a very entertaining game. Sunday's games, two of the three that I picked, I was wrong on. Shocked me. The odds makers were wrong, beginning with his Tennessee Titans soiling the sheets at home against the Baltimore Ravens. And I will admit, you said Friday you were nervous about the game.
Mm-hmm.
Were you nervous for all the right reasons?
Yeah.
That your defense would go missing and Lamar Jackson would have the game of his life?
Yeah.
Because that's what happened.
Of course. And, you know, actually, you know, be honest, I thought the defense played well, better than they had during the year. But I was nervous. They've been playing really well. They're a physical football team, and Lamar Jackson got over the hump.
The game that I did not watch, apologies to Henry Burris, who is coaching on the staff of the Chicago Bears. They lost 21-9 to the Saints, but I couldn't stay for 9 straight hours of football. I'm sorry. I checked out, watched a little Netflix during that game, but the Saints have moved on. And it'll be Breeze versus Brady this weekend. But then the Sunday night game, watching Yellowstone on Amazon Prime, carried over into the first quarter of the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game. I missed the snap that went over Ben Roethlisberger's head. It just was, sometimes that opening play or opening series can tell you how the game's going to go. Not every game, but sometimes. And that happened. The Cleveland Browns stunned the world by beating the Pittsburgh Steelers 48-37 at Heinz Field. They didn't have their head coach. They were missing a bunch of starters because of COVID. They hadn't practiced all week. And they went in to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Unbelievable. So, hey, that's why we love sports.
Oh, yeah.
Real life drama. Real life soap operas that air in prime time. Point three to the CFL. There was one noteworthy item that came out of the weekend. Zach Caleros took a pay cut for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. A $40,000 trim. from, according to 3downnation.com, from 450,000 to 410,000. Zach said, hey, I'm still making great money, which he's right. And if you think it's not a big trim, would you like to take a trim of 40,000? I don't think so. So good on Zach, and here's praying that the CFL plays. I'll get to your comments in a minute, but we're rolling here. Point four, the college football national championship game goes tonight. For the men that'll be watching, I can just imagine the wives' eyes rolling. Maybe I'm just speaking for my own house, but it'll be on again tonight, the Natty. That's from right. Miami, Alabama, OSU. It'll be another night of football. Yeah, the national championship tonight. Not missing this. And my good friend Steve Sarkisian is the offensive coordinator of Alabama. That's why I'm cheering for the Crimson Tide. But they've been my favorite college team for a long time, basically because I wanted to pick a winner. I knew they'd be on television every week, not struggling to find the Montana Grizzlies on local cable. Or, you know what I mean?
Yep.
They're easy to find Crimson Tide games. They're always in a bowl game. And here it is tonight, the national championship.
You know, I talk about expectations, right? Reality versus expectations versus reality. You need to set good expectations. And this is a little advice, right, for all the guys too, and the girls who love football when their husband, right. And their husbands don't, is set the expectation on Friday. Honey, Saturday, football. Sunday, I don't really care about the Saints. You got 3 hours there. Monday, football. Tuesday's your night because Wednesday hockey comes back and then we're back to football on Saturday again. So you got to set those expectations out so they know that you got a little pocket on Tuesday, maybe a little window Thursday, and then right back to football.
Well, that's what happened in our house. So, and as was pointed out, I mentioned Steve Sarkisian, a viewer in Saskatoon, had said, well, don't forget about Tino Sinceri. He's a graduate assistant with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Well, good for Tino, but I'm not friends with Tino like I was with Steve Sarkisian. So you're going to hear from Tino again coming up. As a matter of fact, point five, bulletin board material. It was all the talk coming out of the NFL games on the weekend. And it's led to our poll question. Are you a believer in bulletin board material? The results on Instagram are about 50-50. What are they on Facebook? I hope people understand the question.
Yeah, 54%.
54%
yes.
Say yeah, they believe in it, and 46% say no, they don't. What I say about this, do you believe in bulletin board material as a motivator? And the point is, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You should be giving 110% every game, and it shouldn't matter what the opposition says. But human nature is human nature, and if somebody says something that gets your blood boiling, you can't manufacture that adrenaline rush, that fire in your belly, because somebody ticked you off and disrespected you, i.e. the Washington defensive end rookie Chase Young, who says, I'm coming after you, Tom Brady, Saturday night in the playoff game, and then the Buccaneers completely nullified the kid. It's like he didn't even play. Embarrassing for him, and it fired up Tom Brady. His Titans go into Baltimore how many weeks ago?
Yeah.
What week was it?
Man, 14 or 15.
They prance on the Ravens logo in the Ravens house. They've been simmering on it until Sunday afternoon. They go into Tennessee, and the Titans, Tannehill throws the interception. Ravens pick it off, and they go and dance on the Titans logo just to accentuate the game. They've been motivated by it since your team did it. Mm-hmm. So it does work. And my favorite CFL story was, and man, are we going back here in terms of time? I guess 2014. Time flies. But the BC Lions president, Dennis Skulski. I was with the Rough Riders. We were going into Vancouver. And Dennis Skulski, the president of the Lions, guaranteed a win on TSN radio in Vancouver. I guarantee the Lions. I can still hear his voice. We're going out there and we're going to win. And I'm guaranteeing it. Dennis Skulski. I'm wondering if his coaches and players are saying, would you shut your yap? You're not going to be out there. You're going to be in a luxury suite eating shrimp cocktail. Don't write checks that your mouth can't cash. So anyways, Corey Chamblin, the head coach of the Rough Riders, prints off photos of Skulski, photocopies 50 of them, puts them all around the locker room in the visitors' locker room in BC Play Stadium with a quote highlighted, we guarantee we're going to beat Saskatchewan. And what happens? The Riders go up. Well, I should say before the game, the media in the pregame news conference said to Corey Chamblin, is your team fired up about this? Are they motivated? He's like, what? About what? Did he say something? In the meantime, he's got the quote highlighted in every player's locker room. at BC Play Stadium. And then he went out and kicked the Lions' ass with Tino Cinceri at quarterback for the Rough Riders. As I pointed out, and Tino never beat anybody. Ever. But he did that night. So I'm sorry to go on for so long, but you know, Don Matthews, the legendary CFL coach who retired as the all-time winningest coach in the CFL history, said he doesn't believe in that because if you get motivated by what somebody said, then you're cheating me the other games when nobody said anything. Is he right in saying that? Like, there's two schools of thought there.
There is, and there's that whole school of you're getting paid a lot of money, you know, to be prepared to play on Sunday. And if you're not prepared, then you don't belong in the league. And that's true. That is true. But you're always trying to squeeze the lemon a little bit more, get a little more out of it, right? And we know in human nature, money is not a motivator. It's just not. You need to feel invested. You need to have a reason, buy-in. Yep. And if this gets a little extra buy-in for that specific week against that opponent, it's exactly what you need to go out there and try and beat them. You need to have this want to win.
Right.
And not just to win the game, but to beat that team. And it works.
I think we could spend a couple hours discussing that. Just do people not understand the question? Like, do you believe in bulletin board material? I can see why the results are so polarizing. You either believe in it or you don't. And I believe in it, but I don't think you should. But the haters and the naysayers and the critics that I wrote about it in my column yesterday, they're a tremendous motivator.
Yes.
The people that said, Rod's show won't last until New Year. When we started it way back in 2019. Well, here we are, rocking and rolling. It didn't make me mad at all. It was like, thank you. I'll show you. Never made my blood boil.
Oh, isn't that it? You know, and maybe trying to sum it up is bulletin board material's not needed.
But it helps.
You don't need it. But it definitely helps.
Right.
It works.
Point six. A lot of NHL notes coming down the pipe here on this Monday morning, our coffee get together. For one, the waivers have come out, and I got my TSN notification here. Corey Perry of Montreal and Vancouver Canucks forward Louis Erickson are two of the notable names placed on waivers as teams shorten rosters. So Darren Dreger was with us last hour, TSN NHL insider. He said, you watch, there'll be some names on that waiver wire. And so the point with these guys, let's just say from a Montreal Canadiens perspective, if Corey Perry clears waivers, nobody picks him up, then he'll stay in Montreal on the taxi squad.
Right.
Corey Perry's going to be playing somewhere, but it depends on salary, right, and all the rest. So there's that. The NHL on NBC announced their rosters for this season and their play-by-play crew. And John Forslund, who will be joining us in the next segment, is one of them. Kenny Albert, Mike Babcock's joining the panel. And as I see from The Athletic, this headline, Mike Milbury out as NBC NHL analyst, former coach GM pulled from playoff coverage for insensitive comments, will not return. I think we could all see that coming down Main Street.
Well, you know, the one I saw was Pierre Maguire moved from the number one crew down to the number two or number three crew on NBC. And it came with the headline, Pierre Maguire is the Nickelback of sports broadcasting.
Won't go away?
No, he's good, right? He's a good analyst, and we all can really understand that he's a good analyst. But we don't want to admit it, and we love to hate him, and he sucks. If you ask us publicly, we hate Pierre Maguire, but he is talented.
I don't hate Pierre Maguire at all. My dad had a very healthy respect for Pierre Maguire. My dad, who worked for the Dallas Stars for 26 years, always said to me when he would come home from the draft or some scouting mission or whatever, he's like, saw Pierre Maguire. He'd always come up, hey, Jimmy, how are you? Always remembered my dad's name.
Wow.
And with my dad, that goes a long ways.
Yes.
As you know, this is the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. You're home for the NFL. If you were missing hour one, I think you're going to want to go back and watch it because Dreger and I went deep and Darren chimed in with his thoughts too on the Western Hockey League's return to play. It looks a little sketchy, but it's sketchy for everybody. Look at the NHL. The Dallas Stars and Vancouver Canucks have had to close their facilities. So what's to expect? The Brandon Wheat Kings might have to as well. But Friday night, the Western Hockey League announced a minimum 24-game season. We don't know anything beyond that. We don't know, will there be fans? Will every game be televised? Will there be a playoff at all? Is this mounting to a 24-game preseason? Will there be a Memorial Cup handed out? None of those questions were answered. And Drigger and I agreed. It was a great move by the Western Hockey League to pique interest. But they didn't divulge any details. They're not obligated to divulge any details. So Western Hockey League and any of you leagues, don't get upset when there's a lot of conjecture out of there from big mouths like us when you don't divulge the details.
That's right.
So it's going to create some chin wagging. Maybe that's what they wanted. That's where we are. I wanted to point out Saskatoon. Everybody's asking why I'm wearing this yellow bunny hug today. Saskatoon Blades. Darren and I went to Saskatoon, part of some strategic planning sessions on Saturday. We got some photos here, one of which was a stop by Huskies Stadium, where home of the U of S Huskies. Do you got them? There you go. Scott Flory, the Hall of Fame, Canadian Football Hall of Fame head coach of the Huskies, presented us with this helmet, which I have here today. And that's why I said, please excuse the mess in our home here today. We haven't sorted out where all this is going, but the Huskies helmet's here to stay.
Oh, yeah.
Got to figure out where it's got to go. We had a chat with Scott Flory about the impending 2021 U Sports football season. That will stay between us, but he's positive. What else we got? That's with Ken Sheveldayoff, the brother of Kevin Sheveldayoff, the Winnipeg Jets general manager. Chevy came and joined us at the coffee spot. It's a great spot, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And we stopped by the Blade store. I just love the gear. So this thing, I have coveted this bunny hug for a long time. My buddy Shay has one from Prairie Mobile.
Yeah.
And I just look at it, and of course, I never told him how much I envy him, but deep down I was. And so we walked into the store. I'm like, I got it. Well, I said to Darren, I'm not the Blades guy. You're the Blades guy. I'm the Pats guy. I'm the PA Raiders alum. I don't know if I should buy this thing or not. Remember what you said?
Yeah, buy it. It looks good.
You want it. Yeah.
You know, and it was great. You know, it's funny. We walk in there, and since I've been in the hockey rink last in Saskatoon, I've grown out the hair. We got a mask. Couldn't be any more incognito walking in there. And Mitch, Caitlin, both in the store, they recognized us right away. It was great to catch up with them. That was really nice.
Yeah, so it was a great trip to Saskatoon. And let's move on from there. Corey, on that, Chevy brought his prized hockey card collection along. Ken Sheveldayoff, Sask MLA for Saskatoon Greystone, brought that. And we did some other planning sessions with him. But we had to take a picture of the cards because I can't even imagine how much those are worth. Anyways, Corey DeTavio is watching in Winnipeg. He says, bunny hug? It's a Saskatchewan term. Everywhere in the world calls it a hoodie. Here, it's a bunny hug. Nick Yakimchuk writes in, for everyone in Manitoba, he's talking about a hoodie. They call hoodies bunny hugs in Saskatchewan. So we had a fantastic weekend. Do we have John Forslund ready to roll? All right, we're going to take a timeout and be back with the NHL on NBC's John Forslund. You're watching the RP Show coast to coast on Game Plus Television, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube Live, and listen live for Sud's Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Welcome back to the program, everybody. We got breaking news this morning from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, but hang on, we'll get to that after our next chat. Very excited to bring on John Forslund. Very excited, as a matter of fact, from the NHL and NBC, because y'all watched him during the Stanley Cup playoffs out of the bubble last year. He joins us today from Raleigh, North Carolina. Announced today, one of the lead commentators for the Crew. How you doing, John?
Hi, Rod. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. We're always excited to talk hockey. This announcement this morning that came out with you being on one of the top crews with the NHL and NBC isn't news to you. You knew that it was coming, but sure got people fired up today for hockey, hasn't it?
Well, it should, right? So we've been aching for this for a while. We left the bubble in Edmonton with a pretty good taste. Things got derailed a little bit here in terms of when it was going to start and how. Now we know. And at NBC, we're in a different world now without Doc Emrick. So I'm just happy to be part of this team moving forward. And we start Wednesday night. I'll be in Tampa. And I'm jacked up, Rod. I'm excited.
Oh, so are we to be watching, no doubt, John. But I'm a look forward not behind kind of guy, but I just want to ask you about the bubble, because we had, what, the keepers of the cup with us on the air. We had some players on the air from the bubble during the Stanley Cup playoffs, some coaches.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy, John. What was your perspective of being in? Because you were in Toronto first and then Edmonton, correct? What was it like for you?
Yeah, well, this ride started for me in March, Rod, when I was in the same room after the Utah Jazz had checked out in Detroit. I occupied the same room as Rudy Gobert, who, as we know, was the first athlete to contract COVID. And so I came home to Raleigh and was in a 14-day quarantine, so I had my fill of it then. And then we got through the return-to-play protocols and how this was going to work out. And I went to Toronto with some apprehension, a little anxious about our health and how the whole system would work. And secondly, you know, after a four-month layoff, how were we going to do the games? How would they be perceived? Without fans, the fans are so critical to what we do. So there were some anxious moments, but on August 1st, we kicked it off at high noon, the Hurricanes, oddly enough, my old team against the New York Rangers. And for the early stages of it, it was two or three games a day. As a broadcaster, it was fulfilling, it was challenging, it was one of the highlights of my career. So as I look back and then had the opportunity to go to the Edmonton bubble, that was a little bit more restrictive than Toronto was in terms of the layout, and just we had more room to get outside, you know, obviously fenced in and within the confines of a bubble, but at least to get some air in Toronto. In Edmonton, the weather got colder, not as much room now in terms of getting outside and getting a change of pace. So we got through it. 70 days for me, tested every day. Hats off to the NHL for the job they did. It was remarkable in terms of no positive tests. They pulled it off. They crowned a fitting champion, and now we get set for the next season.
Well, just one more on that, if you don't mind me asking. So you're in Rudy Gobert's room. Did you get COVID, John? Did you? Were you positive
no.
at any point?
I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. But the thing was, it was such a crapshoot in the States and everywhere, really, in terms of testing, right? So when they told me, the Hurricanes personnel told me I was in the same room, get on the phone with the team doctor, and I said, okay, I'll come home and I'll get a test and we'll see if I have it or not. But at that time, March 12th, March 13th, in the state of North Carolina, you couldn't get a test unless you had symptoms. So I didn't have any symptoms, but as we know, you can be asymptomatic. You don't have to have symptoms to contract it or spread it to others. So I nestled myself in our basement here for 14 days, and I got to know myself. I was pretty bored. Don't really like myself, Rod, that much. And anyway, we got through it and got to the summer. And the summer was the relaunch. And now we'll see where we go on Wednesday night.
Oh, believe me, as I've learned, most people's biggest fear is being alone. And in your case, it was for 14
Correct.
Days. Yeah, right. So but the reason I ask is I've got a lot of friends that have had COVID and their voice was never the same. Not all of them are broadcasters, right? But it had left lingering things. And for a broadcaster, that's the moneymaker, man, as you know. Joe Lazzito is watching on Long Island. He said, the world is a better place listening to John Forslund broadcasting hockey games.
Hi, Joe.
Quite simply the best in the biz from our friend Joe Lazzito. So two, looking forward now, the NHL season begins on Wednesday, John. Tampa Bay comes in as the reigning champions, and they're still very good. What has you the most excited about this 2020-21 NHL season?
Well, it's like four leagues, right? The four divisions are going to be like four separate leagues within the NHL. I can't wait to watch the North Division. I think that's going to be intriguing with all the Canadian teams and those built-in rivalries with or without fans. I hope we get to a better place, obviously, as we all do, you know, later in the year. We get closer to the playoffs. Maybe we can allow some people back in the buildings. We desperately need that from a variety of different fronts. But I'm looking at it with an excitability factor. I'm also looking at it in wonderment of how it's going to be with repetitive games against repetitive teams. You know, what's that going to look like as we get deeper into the season? Is it going to get mundane? Is it going to be exciting? Are we going to see these rivalries come out of nowhere? What exactly are we looking at here? How and will we navigate COVID? I think that's the one thing that continues to occupy my mind, because this is far different, obviously, than the bubble situation. You're kind of rolling the dice a little bit. All of us are. I'm going to be on site for some games in the studios in Connecticut for others. Will that change as we go along? So there's a lot of questions here. The bottom line is we'll entertain hockey fans. And that's what I think we all need as we attempt, as I've said ad nauseum, and we all have, to somehow get back to normal again. When that day comes, who knows? But at least we'll get our fix in. We'll start Wednesday night, games across the states and in Canada, and we'll move on daily, and we'll see how this goes. And it will be, as we used time and time again during the work stoppage seasons, 48 games in those 3 years, was a sprint. Well, this is a sprint again. It's a cliche, but it's true. And teams just have to make the most of whatever they have that night. Otherwise, you double up a loss with like two in a row instead of one during an 82-game schedule. So it'll be exciting. That's the bottom line. And I just hope that everyone's health is first and foremost here, and we're able to get through it.
You know, it's quite interesting you say that about the entertaining thing. I mean, I'm entertained no matter what, a 1-1 game, an 8-7 game, whatever. Not everybody is. I understand that. But Don Cherry was on here during the Stanley Cup playoffs, and Grapes talked about how he felt the hockey was better. I mean, you guys in the bubble must have been having coffee saying, man, the hockey's good. Why is that? Because it was outstanding. And Grapes felt it was because there was no wear on tear on players' bodies. Right? Because that you know what travel does to you, John. Do you think we could match that level of play? Do you think it'll be at normal, higher, lower? What do you think?
I think it will. I think they'll get to it. I think there was some urgency based on the playoff implications and the qualifying situations in the summer. I think the players came to those bubbles once they were able to get out of their markets and get to either Toronto or Edmonton. There was a built-in security. You knew, Rod, when you were there, you were safe. And maybe one of the safest places on earth, I don't think that's a stretch. It was just everybody was, once you got used to that surrounding, you were comfortable and you had that assurance. This, I think, will be different. This will take some getting used to. The guys will be allowed, obviously, to come back to their homes, which that's what they want, and they should have, be around their loved ones for a 6-month period as opposed to maybe a couple of weeks or at the most 2 months. So it's different that way. But I think the game is great, and the game always takes over. Hockey always takes over no matter what the circumstances. And that's what we talked about, in the lead up after the exhibition play, before we got to that first game over dinner, we were discussing, what's this going to be like? And I think most of us agreed the game is so great that once the guys get into the teeth of competition, you'll see greatness emerge. And I think that's what we'll see this season. And I look forward to a level of parity. I hope it's there. I think it's going to be a struggle for some of these teams that are rebuilding, but I'm anxious to see how those teams compete against the teams that are maybe in a better spot. Do those teams go away early because they can't find a level of success, and what's the hockey going to look like then? Or do they hang in there and write their own stories? So I think there'll be an initial surge out of adrenaline, as always, which will be great. We might level off a little bit at some point because, again, we're going to the middle of May with a regular season, and then we'll get into the stretch. But this is the greatest game. There's no question. I know you agree with that. And hockey will take over. And when two NHL teams play, it is what it is. It's fantastic.
Well, it's really interesting that you say that about the safety aspect. And with my friends that are in the NFL, they're staying in hotels in their home city one, sometimes two nights before a game, and they're all policing themselves. They don't want an outbreak, right? That's what the people I don't think understand. They think the players are irresponsible, and they're not, right? Nobody wants to miss the game. Nobody wants to cause that outbreak, and hockey players are probably even more responsible than that. But, John, I just want to mention, you mentioned the Hurricanes. Somewhere along the line, I'd lost track of Dean Chenoweth, and I saw him on a podcast recently. He'd been 3 years with the Hurricanes, and we love him from his time with the Swift Current Broncos as a coach, player with Medicine Hat, the storied Chenoweth family. And then you got Brindy, the great Notre Dame hound, running the Hurricanes there. Those are some great Western boys, John. What are your thoughts? What was it like working with them?
I learned a long time ago when I started my career in the 80s in Springfield with the New York Islanders affiliate that you need Westerners to have any kind of semblance of fabric in your organization, right? So I've known Dino for a long time. I go all the way back to those days with him. But when Bill Torrey and Tex Eamon were running the Islanders, there was a strong influence from the Western Hockey League. And those were the guys that you kind of built as your foundation and then kind of worked out from there. And it's a little bit different today because the players come from a variety of different backgrounds and they all have different journeys to make the highest level. But with Rod Brind'Amour, number one, the Hurricanes were able to get the culture, which you can easily lose, and it's almost impossible to get it back once you have any semblance of it. And you look throughout sports, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, or hockey in the major team sports, culture comes and goes. You look at the Cleveland Browns and what they finally were able to do last night, you know, 4-66 in Pittsburgh since 1970. That's absolutely unbelievable when you look at, you know, how does that happen? Obviously, there's a lack of culture. There's a reach to get it back. And then at some point, you become real. Well, the Hurricanes are now a real team, and they're going to have to meet expectations this year, which they haven't had in the previous two. They've been kind of a nice story, the bunch of jerks, so to speak. They played to it. Now they're expected to be, you know, an excellent team. They're expected to be a challenger for the Central Division. They'll have an excellent chance, but it's a different animal. But Rod's the guy that settles it down, and with Dean Chenault and Jeff Daniels, they have an excellent coaching staff here, but Dean has done a remarkable job with the defense here, and especially with Dougie Hamilton. He kind of settled him into a great role. He had an unbelievable season last year until he was injured, but Dean's communication skills and leaning on you know, his background, which is, as you know, going back with his dad and so on, he's been a lifer in hockey, is tremendous. A tremendous reach to get through to a player, and he's also very intelligent. He's able to do that, so he's done a great job here.
Well, and I should mention there are a lot of Hurricane fans in this neck of the woods because of Hayden Fleury as well, who we had on the show shortly after the playoffs. So yeah, well, you've been out here enough. You know the connections to Western Canada and with the game and even the Hurricane specifically. John, as always, we will be watching. I really appreciate this time. Big fan here. So this is kind of a bucket list interview for me. And stay safe and enjoy the games.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Rod. Thanks for having me. Same to you, and keep up the great work.
Appreciate it. Thanks, John. John Forslund from the NHL on NBC. And I must say, as we bring in Dupes here, no dummy, obviously, and he's following the other leagues too. And he brought up the Browns.
Yeah.
I looked up this morning the general manager of the Cleveland Browns because I knew they smoked John Dorsey last year. And I couldn't have named who the GM of the Cleveland Browns was.
Right.
Could you?
No.
No, I don't think too many people could. 32-year-old Andrew Berry. Now, he didn't hire Kevin Stefanski. He didn't draft Baker Mayfield. He didn't sign OBJ. So what he's done there, I'm not quite sure. But he is the general. Something's changed in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it's just Kevin Stefanski. But culture. There's a guy that gets it. John Forslund. Culture.
Holy.
It makes you or breaks you.
Holy smokes.
As an organization.
Rob Brind'Amour, right? The culture is the identity. That's Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland. I mean, you've had a lot of bright guys running that team. And every time, you know, a new coach takes over, this is going to be the guy. And there's reasons to be excited. They're all sharp. You know, I look at guys who have been disposed. Even Anthony Lynn in L.A. with the Chargers, gone. Not because he's not a bright guy.
Right.
Very smart, sharp football guy, but just wasn't right for that group of players. Couldn't get them all on the same page, and culture is a big part of it. They've got a good culture right now in Cleveland.
We will pause and be back with a sports update. I mentioned some Blue Bombers news. We're going to get to that.
Both saw it.
Monty watching in Saskatoon. He's the former equipment manager of the Saskatchewan Huskies. Can you please put the Rams thing on the floor, please? That Rams thing is a helmet, Monty.
Thing.
You got to love rivalries, right? Speaking of rivalries.
I was thinking about that when we were talking about it. And Jamie Thomas has to throw some sort of bomb on Twitter to some team.
Start a rivalry.
Just to create a rivalry. Pick it out of a hat. Use the sports Tinder app and pick out a rival.
We will start viewer takeover early, too, today. What the heck? I'm in a giving mood.
Yeah.
It's the RP Show. You're watching in all 10 provinces and 31 states on Game Plus TV Network. Also, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube Live. And listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Notice anything new? See what I mean? Still moving here, still figuring out what we're doing. Please don't mind the mess.
Work in progress.
We do need a bigger desk, that's for sure. That part's for sure.
Yeah.
Anybody know a carpenter? Build some shelves up here.
Yeah, who's going to build us the next desk?
Sports update. The Alabama Crimson Tide will play for their sixth national championship under coach Nick Saban, 13th overall in college football's poll era, and a first since 2017 tonight when they take on Ohio State University in the college football natty. Alabama is 2-2 in college football playoff championship games. A sixth title at Alabama for Saban would match Paul Bear Bryant's total with the Tide, but it would give him a record 7 overall. He also won with LSU, of course. And for Ohio State, it would be its 7th national championship of the poll era and first since 2014. Big game tonight. Who's got it? TSN?
Oh, yeah.
Winnipeg Blue Bombers have signed American defensive back Brandon Alexander to a 1-year contract extension. He returns to the Bombers for a 4th season. The Orlando product was limited to 10 games in 2019. He's got 126 tackles, 4 interceptions, and 4 forced fumbles in 3 years with the Blue. Have you noticed how we got a lot more Winnipeg news on the show?
Yeah.
We're leaning into Winnipeg.
Thank you.
Because we're getting a lot of love from Winnipeg. It's reciprocal. Law of attraction. Paul's watching. You know Paul?
Oh, yeah.
He says, no bigger desks. Well, define bigger. We're talking vertical.
Yeah.
We're going to go 5 stories high from here. It's not taking up any more square footage. What? What?
Nothing. Inappropriate comment.
Mark Zosel says, new. The Tupperware holding your laptop. It's not Tupperware. It's a golf ball container.
We're not fancy.
No. First quality, 50 recycled golf balls. The way I go through these things, I'm not going to pay more than $1 a ball. So that's it's not Tupperware. Come on. The NFL's divisional round matchups are set. The Cleveland Browns had little trouble upending the Pittsburgh Steelers 48-35. They'll play the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round. That's when the clock strikes midnight, right, for the Cinderella Cleveland Browns?
Oh, yeah.
I would think. New Orleans and Baltimore were also winners Sunday. The Saints will play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, while the Buffalo Bills will face the Ravens. In the 4th matchup, the Green Bay Packers take on the Los Angeles Rams. Steph Curry only scored 11 points, but the Toronto Raptors still couldn't defeat the Golden State Warriors in a 2019 NBA Finals rematch. Spicy P scored 25 points, but missed a go-ahead jump shot to win the game. The Raptors' record has now fallen to 2-7, and I feel like I have to stop making fun of that because the voice of the Raptors, Matt Devlin, is now following us on Twitter. And I don't want to offend him.
Yeah.
And I think we'd like to get him on the air at some point.
That would be nice.
Matt Devlin from Halifax. I really enjoy his play-by-play.
Yeah, you know, I do too.
I enjoy it a lot. But for the Raptors, that just tells you how bad they've been. That 2-7 is nowhere near their worst start ever. They're saying it's their worst start since 2013. But 0-9's their worst start. And how long does that streak of losing go? Like, you kids, people have short memories. They just think of the Raptors as we the North, right?
Yeah.
They don't think of Stoudemire and Vince Carter wanting out of town because his talents are being wasted. People forget about that.
That's right.
And Wilkins and them sucking. Del Curry. Harris English needed a playoff to beat Joaquin Niemann at the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. Nick Taylor of Abbotsford, BC, finished at a tie for 29th with American Brian Gay at 13 under. Mackenzie Hughes of Dundas, Ontario, finished in a tie for last with Japan's Hideki Matsuyama at 4 under. The Vancouver Canucks will practice later today, one day after canceling a session due to COVID-19. The Canucks were the first Canadian team to have their training camp disrupted by the coronavirus. This comes 2 days before the start of the NHL's 56-game season. And placed on waivers today, Corey Perry and Louis Erickson highlight the names. You can check them all out at tsn.ca. The sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Drive-Thru Liquor Store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, now with 8 amazing flavors, including the new Almond Mocha. RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Viewer Robert Jarrett says some big names put on waivers in the NHL this morning. Wow. Well, the only names I saw were what came in the notification, Corey Perry and Louis Erickson. Who else? You probably haven't had time to look at it either, have you?
No.
Where the heck is it? I'll call it up here. Clark's going to pull it up here. So thanks for pointing that out. I mean, this is all, it's all money related, as you know. It's nothing to do with talent. This is, I've said it many times. This is where the NHL loses me. Yeah. This is where pro sports loses me. Are you good enough to be on the team or not? Is Corey Perry good enough to be on Montreal? Yes. So everybody's looking at it going, Corey Perry's placed on waivers. It's because of salary. It's because of fit. It's not about whether he's good enough or not.
Right.
It's not a slight on him.
They're all good enough. That's the thing.
Mick Panko writes in. He says, not a big name, but Jordan Wheel. I heard.
Yeah, that was the other day. Noah Juulsen, that was the one defenseman out of Montreal, got placed on waivers. He's only 23. You know, I kind of like, you know, some patience on him. Defensemen usually, you know, hit their prime a little bit later than forwards do. So another guy, but he got claimed. Yeah, okay, there you go. And that's what I was looking for, right? A guy I was kind of watching. So Florida Panthers, Clark mentioned, claimed him. And we'll see a lot more movement as you get guys on those taxi squads.
From Ken in Saskatoon on the Prairie Mobile text line, we see you live by the T-shirt slogans. Put your balls on the table. All 50 of them from Kenneth Saskatoon. These ones ended up in the bush, believe me. Randy at Strasburg. Put helmets and bigger items on a shelf behind Rod. Keep small items on the desk. So now we are into the home decorating portion of the Rod Peterson Show. There are no shelves behind us. This is not real. This is green. Or else I would have moved the coffee maker already and put a helmet on there. There's no coffee. See? Andrew Ladd and Braden Shen, or Luke Shen, in Tampa. I'm sorry. I don't care as much about this stuff. Just play the games. Figure the money stuff and roster stuff out. That's just my take.
I know.
But we'll come back with viewer takeover in overtime. Hang on. It's the RP Show. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, YouTube and Twitter, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now. Back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back for overtime, everybody. I don't know. How do you feel about the way the set looks right now? I got to get that Football Canada logo there from that helmet. But the Dino helmet's inexplicably gone missing. So Jack in Vulcan, Alberta's watching. Jack Fulton, he says, new, just out. Home and Garden TV's RP Show Reno.
Ooh.
No, that's okay. But home decor, Not really our thing. Trying to figure out where to put all these helmets. We'll get it figured out.
I like it.
I like it. I think if we put the dino helmet up here, we build sort of a little, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A fortress.
Yeah.
Of football helmets. And I got my hockey helmet here, too. Bob in Grand Prairie writes in. Watch it in Grand Prairie, Alberta on Game Plus TV. Bulletin board comments do work for the most part. I've experienced it personally back in the 80s in the CFL. Do tell, Bob. Don't you want to know more? That just leads you into wanting to know more.
Oh, yeah.
Brady in Saskatoon. I'm shocked he's showing his face today. I'll give him credit because his Seahawks got taken behind the woodshed the other day.
You're going to read his message here.
Yes.
Show his face? No, I haven't. But I just hope that he's not showing his face to trash on other teams and try and make other people feel as bad as he does.
Stay tuned.
Okay.
Hey, Rod, back at school today until April. I promise I'm not writing this while in class. Raptors slump continues. Horrible last second shot selection by Pascal when he had plenty of time to post up. I knew the Browns would win at the start of the week. Steelers haven't looked at all that promising. I knew the Browns would exploit them. Nothing on the sea chickens.
Okay.
Getting plucked.
That was pretty good, though.
Not bad. Not trolling. Not
no, he's evolving. He's evolving. I like
he's
that.
Evolving. Viewer Mark Zozel says, I know it's early, but who are you picking this weekend in the NFL? No. Homie not going down that road. It's Monday. We still got a whole last weekend to recoup.
Yeah,
we got a national championship tonight. I'm going to have to put that poll up on the Instagram feed. You can follow us on Instagram at The Rod Peterson Show. Who you like? Alabama, OSU. Here's the face-off, I guess, for Ultimate Fan Zone in the Mad Creek Restaurant, because I got Alabama.
Did I you got see? OSU.
There you go. There's the face. And why do you think Alabama's going to win in my mind? Because they're Alabama. They got a lot to play for Nick Saban. It is the swan song for Steve Sarkisian, whom the players love. I just think they have a better team. And what we'll be watching for is Justin Fields if he has a tremendous follow-up from the All-State Sugar Bowl, right where they upset Clemson. That's the big question.
He might flop. And the thing for me with Ohio State is the unpredictable nature right now of that group, because they've hardly played any football this year. They've played about half the games that Alabama's played, right? They haven't played a lot. And so it was a big debate on whether they should be included in the college football playoff or not, because they hadn't played double-digit games yet. But so I think they're fresh. I think they haven't put everything on film yet. So I think they can still surprise Alabama a little bit. So that's why I'm rooting for them, and I like the underdog. I like pulling for the underdog.
From Mick Panko, he says Justin Fields was dynamite for OSU versus Clemson. He threw 6 touchdowns. But the Crimson Tide are not going to leave the deep middle of the field wide open and uncovered.
Right.
Clemson's good. Alabama's better. And you're going to see it tonight in the Natty. Alabama rolls by 8. That is the face-off for the Mad Greek and Moose Jaw. Visit them for the best authentic Greek cuisine. Available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Visit their website at themadgreekeatery.com. And for Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel, they are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. They also carry Moose Jaw Warrior gear. It's been a nice wind-up today. As I said, I guess we didn't mention it here on the Game Plus Hour. I've been called a traitor by Pats fans for wearing Warrior gear. Shoot, by Jordan Eberle.
Yeah.
A traitor by fans for wearing Blades gear, and I'm not doing that. I'm the Dub guy. We walked into the Blades store on the weekend in Midtown Plaza. Love that place. Love that mall. Love that city. I'm like, I'm walking out with that. I love it. And I give Darren credit. I said, I'm not the Blades guy. You are. And you said, if you like it, buy it. Wear it and be proud. And here I am, right?
That's how it works. Yeah, you like it. You look good. Why not?
So anyways.
And they love us in that city.
Well, like I say, I've broken up with the past teams. I'm seeing new people. Deal with it. Moved on. Tomorrow. Oh, it's not on the screen. J. Check our social media feeds for what we got going on tomorrow. Thanks to John Forslund, Darren Dreger, and Nakis Onyeka. And we'll see you at 10 a.m. Central tomorrow and noon Eastern on Game Plus. So I punched him.
Of course you did.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.